We all like rooting for the underdog. We all like rooting for the person who looks like they're a goner. It's too late. There's no chance they can come back. There's no chance they can win. There's no chance they can change. And yet they overcome all the odds that are against them. They overcome everything, challenges, obstacles, their life falling apart, and they still somehow make it. They still somehow succeed. Now that is the theme of Aseret Yemei Teshuva. It's the idea that it is never too late. I mean, the Rambam says explicitly, he says in Hilchos Teshuva, he says that you can always do Teshuva. It's never too late. And he says that Aseret Yemei Teshuva is a special time. It's a special time of tefillah and teshuva where in an instant you can change. In an instant you can change who you are and you can become someone else. And the question that I want to delve into today is what is the Rambam talking about? What is this idea of Aseret Yemei Teshuva? What is unique about Aseret Yemei Teshuva? And to take it a step further, what is this really about? A lot of Aseret Yemei Teshuva, especially Yom Kippur, is about vidui. Now, the Rambam says that vidui is a mitzvah. Now, it seems a little antithetical that teshuva, which we're going to assume vidui is an aspect of teshuva is an aspect of vidui. There's a whole topic, what is the mitzvah of vidui? We're not going to get into that right now. But it's fascinating that it's a mitzvah. A mitzvah is something HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally is telling you, I want you to do this. So wait a second, Hashem wants us to do averos so that we do teshuva? How is vidui a mitzvah? But without getting into the whole sugya, an essential aspect of this entire topic is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling you that no matter what you do, no matter how distant it appears that you are from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem always wants you to come back. It's Hashem saying, I am commanding you. Well, the Maharal says, mitzvah comes from the notion of tzavta, which means connection. That no matter how many favors you do, no matter what your life is like, Hashem's saying, connect, come back. It's never too late. And the question, once again, is why? Why is it never too late? If you, unfortunately, smoke your whole life, you go to the doctor, and they tell you, Chas v'shalom, it shouldn't be you, it shouldn't be anyone. But they'll say, tell someone, you have lung cancer. And you say, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. I regret it. I want to be better. The doctor is going to say, that's great, but there's nothing I can do. We can try to treat it, but you know, apologizing, regretting it, it's not going to help. And that's something incredible. Teshuva, somehow, you can say that despite all the damage you did, despite all the decisions you made, despite all the things that you know went against the truth, went against the Ratzon Hashem, it's never too late. Aseret Yemei Teshuva is this special, unique time where we have an even greater opportunity. And the question is, what is going on here? How can it be that you have the opportunity to somehow fix what went wrong? Now, this is the whole topic, and we're not going to give a full share. We're not going to spend hours delving into this. We don't have the time to do that. But I want to frame one of the most transformative principles that you can ever learn, which is the concept of the self, the concept of who we are. Many of us think that we are a body. Maybe we're an intellect. Maybe we have a soul. But the Nefesh HaChayim, the Ramchal, Tzadok, many of the deeper Baalei Machshava, they share one of the most fundamental principles that you can ever hear. You don't have a neshama, you are a neshama. You're a self. You're an inner higher consciousness, a higher being. When you say I, you're not referring to your body, you're referring to you. You're referring to your core self. Now, what is that self? What is that neshama? You're a chelek elokam emal. You're built b'tzelem elokim. And at root, at your actual root, you're perfect. But we don't experience that. We wake up in this world and we experience imperfection. Now, mitzvah, tzavta, listening to the Ratzon Hashem is all about connecting back to who we really are. Connecting back to our true selves. Averos, literally, tumah literally means to block. It's all about living within the illusion of someone that you're not. Disconnecting from who you truly are. Now, where does this come from? Where is the Maharal, the Ramchal, Nefesh HaChayim, where are they getting this from? So, there's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara says that, and this is the Gemara, Nidat Af Laminim Abeis. The Gemara says that when we were in the womb, we learned Kol HaTorah Kula. And right before we were born, the Malach hits us in the mouth and we forget it. So the Vilna Gaon asks a classic question. He says, what do you mean? We discussed this many times before. Why is the Malach making you forget it? And why teach it to you in the first place? So he says, you're not just learning Torah. You're learning the deepest root Torah. You're learning the nature of reality. You're seeing everything with crystal clear lens, but you're also seeing who you are. You're in touch with your perfect root self, your angelic self. This is before you come down into this world. You're being shown everything you're supposed to accomplish, but then you forget it because the goal is not to be perfect. The goal is to become perfect, to earn it, to create your perfection. So you come in this world with the illusion that you're just a human being, an animal. What's the difference between you and a monkey? You're a little more intelligent. And you go through an entire life journey of becoming great, becoming extraordinary, becoming angelic, using the physical world, uplifting it, and connecting to Akash Baruch Hu. But at root, you're perfect. At root, you're an angel. You're a malach. You're a neshama. So all aviros are just creating this illusion of disconnect between you and your higher self, you and Hashem. You think that I'm not connected to Hashem. You think I'm not extraordinary. I'm not great. I'm not an angelic being. Teshuva is returning to what? So the Maharal says, returning to you. It's returning to your true self. To who you truly are. It's not just a Rosh Hashanah El Yom Kippur idea. It's a life idea. We are on this journey to our true selves. And what's Kares? So the Baal HaNeshev talk about Kares is the illusion of being cut off from who you truly are. It's the experience of being cut off from Hashem. Now, if you would actually cease to exist, that's not a big punishment. You don't experience that. But it's the experience of living within that illusion of not existing, that illusion of not being connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, all of life is about building higher levels of awareness, connecting to our true selves, becoming more in touch with who we are, learning Torah, is opening up our mind, opening up our inner self to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to what Hashem wants, to the Chachmas Hashem. Tefillah is Avodas HaLev, Avodas HaRetzon, the working and wanting to live a life of truth, a life of Avodas Hashem. And mitzvos are living that life. And what happens when we go off the wrong path? We're not affecting who we truly are at root, we're affecting, you know, there's a whole topic in terms of its impact on the spiritual world. We're not going to get into that right now. But in terms of you yourself, Nefesh HaChaim says explicitly, no avira can touch your actual neshama. What it does is it creates this blockage on a surface level. And teshuva is wiping that off and going back to your true root. That's why the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says there's different forms of tshuva. There's tzedakah, tzedakah, shinu shem, shinu maisa, and according to one opinion, shinu makam. So what are all these ideas? So tzedakah we've talked about in the past. It's about expanding your sense of self, becoming part of something bigger than yourself, going to your root self. That's the whole topic of Dasler goes into, we're not going to go into right now. But tzedakah, crying out, yearning to go back to your true self. Shinu shem is changing your name, showing that who I am now, in terms of the avera aspect of me, that's not my true self. It's going back to a root stage of self. Shinoi maisa, it's, you know, changing how I express myself in the world by showing that what I did is not my true self. Yeah, I might have sinned, I might have done avera, but that's not who I really am. Shinoi makom, according to one opinion, is also this idea of uprooting yourself and saying the person who I am here, we are definitely involved, especially, you know, a lot of who we are is based on how we identify ourselves. A lot of how we identify ourselves is based on our social identity. So when you uproot yourself, you move somewhere else, you're able to say, the person that I was there who was not living up to his potential, not living up to her potential, that's not me. I'm going to go back to my root self, uproot my current self, going to a different makom so I can tap into my true self. These are all aspects and ideas of returning to our true selves. But what's the problem? The problem is when we come to identify ourselves by our sins. When we get so locked up into a false identity that we look in the mirror and we say, I am. I am a mistake. I am a Russia. I am a loser. There is no chance for me. I cannot succeed. I can't grow. I can't become. I can't evolve. I can't change. I can't become my true self because that's impossible. This is my true self. This is who I've always been. This is who I'll always be. And the question's like this. Is that true? Well, how do we overcome that? So I want to share two cases, two famous cases in the Gemara, which I'm sure you've heard many times before, but I want to approach in a little bit of a deeper way. And the first is the famous Gemara, Nevelot Zahar, Daf Yud Zayin, Amud Aleph, Rav Eliezer ben Dodaya. Now, Rav Eliezer, he wasn't a rabbi his whole life, actually, he was an Avarian, he was a Rasha. And the Gemara talks about how this was a man who had relations with every woman he can ever find. Every woman in the world who was a zona, a harlot, he would go and have a relationship. He heard there was this one that he hadn't had relations with. And there was this one, and he went. And while in the act of having tashmish with this woman, he let out some gas. And if you're a kid, you smile, you laugh, huh? He let out some gas. We're dealing with Torah topics. We're dealing with depth. You can approach any topic, laughter, gas, excrement, Baal Peor. Every aspect of life has tremendous depth. So when you're dealing with in a real avira of Torah thought, you can say, what is it? You don't have to laugh. You can say, what's the depth of this? Why is the Gemara telling me this? So he let some gas, and the Zona said, what? The Zona said something unbelievable. This is a Zona, and she's giving him Musar. She said, just like the gas left your body, and it's not coming back, you left, you're an Avarian, you're a Rasha, and you will never be accepted to do teshuva. You will never be able to go back. And that shook him. That woke him up. So what happened? She made him realize that he threw away his life. Sometimes we need someone outside of ourselves to give us that tochacha, to give us that rebuke, to show, kind of give us that mirror image, help us see who we are. Sometimes we're so far away from who we should be that we just will never be willing to be self-aware to acknowledge who we have become. And we need that wake-up call. So she gave him that wake-up call. And she basically said, you're a goner. There's no chance for you. And what did he do? He woke up. And he sat, the Gemara says that he sat between two mountains, two hills, and he started figuring out, how am I going to do the tshuva? Now, why between two mountains and two hills? So there's different aspects. But one is that he was trying to create an atmosphere of yira, of awe, so that he can get into the proper mindset to actually perform tshuva. And part of it was negating his ego. He lived his entire life doing one thing, which is fulfilling his desires. And he's saying, how can I stop living this type of life? And that's the first thing we want to do. If you want to change something you've been doing for years and years, you have to figure out how to change the environment that you're in. For example, I tell people all the time, they come over to me and say, I have trouble eating junk food all day. I said, do you have junk food lying around your house? If the answer is yes, you're not going to change, because at midnight when you get hungry, you're going to go and eat it. People want to learn more. They want to learn more. Wasting their time, they want to learn more. Do you have Sfarim lying around, or do you have other things lying around the house? If you surround yourself with books and Sfarim and people, Talmidei Chachamim, good people, you'll engage in a lot more productive and helpful activities. So he created an environment of yira, an environment of awe-inspiring circumstances, so that he'd be able to really tap in. So what did he do? So the first, this is a famous Gemara, he calls out to the mountains, he calls out to Shemayim V'aretz, he calls out to the sun, the moon, calls out to the stars, the mazalos, and he asks all of them to ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help him do tshuva, to basically serve as intermediaries between him and Hashem. Why? Because he's scared. How am I going to talk to Hashem? I lived my entire life not talking to Hashem, doing the inexplicable, betraying HaKadosh Baruch Hu, betraying my true self, and now I'm going to go ask him to have me back? So what did they say? Everyone knows what they say. They said no. They said, we will not and we cannot go for you. We have other things to take care of. We have to take care of ourselves. We have our own responsibilities. We can't do it for you. What was his realization? One of the most famous lines in Shas, Ein hadavar tali ela bi. The only one who can do this is me. Why? Teshuvah is not practical. It's not something that gets done. It's something that you do. It's something you become. It's something you accomplish. It's something you, by definition, engage in. And what did he do? He sat, and so the Gemara says something very fascinating. It says that he sat with his head between his legs, and knees, and he cried until his neshama left. And then a bas kol came out and said that Rav Elazar ben Dudaya, this avarian, Rav Elazar ben Dudaya, one second, he's a rabbi, and he just went straight to Olam Haba. And the famous ending to the story is Rebbe was crying when he heard the bas kol, and he said, some earn their Olam Haba in a lifetime, some in a single moment. So we have to pull this apart. What's going on here? So first of all, why did he bend down and put his legs between his knees? So there's a couple approaches. One, you can say it was busha, it was shame. He was embarrassed about all the things that he did. He came face to face with his past mistakes, and he regretted them, but he had to first genuinely be embarrassed and regret what he did. And part of that also is negating your ego. He spent his whole life living according to his own ratzon, living according to what he wanted, and he had to negate that sense of self so he'd be able to say, I want to connect to a higher self, to my true self, and to the ultimate self, the ultimate neshama shel neshamas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But there's something even deeper. And the Maharal says something unbelievable. What's that position? Heads between your knees. It's a fetal position. Why was he going in the fetal position? Because the Maharal says he was returning to his fetal state. He's going back to his fetal state, going back to his fetal perfection. He's connecting to his true self. He's going back to who he truly was. And that's what our life's mission is, and that's what Rebbe was saying. Rebbe was saying that some people spend their entire life doing that, and some people apparently can do that in a single moment. And that fetal state of perfection, when you're in the womb, it's actually part of the reason why we go to a mikvah, is to go back to, when you're in a fetal state, you're surrounded by the amniotic fluid, the mei shafir. So we blow shofar to go back to our root. Mei shafir, shofar. We go back to our root self, beyond space and time, and that cosmic root dimension of reality where we are perfect, we're tapping into that root self. And Lazar ben Dudaya was tapping into that. That's why, it's part of why we go to a mikvah before Hashanah, before Yom Kippur. It's to enter into that, back to that fetal state, to get back into our true perfect selves. We come back into this world inspired when we come out of the mikvah, but going into that mikvah is that formless state. We've talked about the power of mikvah, we're not going to go into it right now, but for those of you who remember, mikvah is a very deep topic. It's when you go into the waters, mayim is formless. You go into the waters, you go into this formless root state, and you come back out, you regain form. But, taking that root perfection that you were tapping into while in the mikvah and bringing it back into this world. That's why all creations in the history of the world was something of form coming out of the formless, something of form coming out of the water. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, the dry land came out of the water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu recreated the world with the Mabul. He recovered the world with water. Then the dry land once again emerged from the water. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Klai Yisrael as a nation, we went into the Yam Suf, that's what the Maharal says. We went into the Yam Suf once again, emerged in water, and came out. We went in as individuals, came out as a nation. It was the birth of Klai Yisrael. And that was the idea, that's the idea of the Gemara Nida, the Flamen of Abay, is that when we're in the womb, we're in that, so to speak, our own personal mikvah, come out into this world, we regain form. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea. It's also the idea of 40. It's always 40 sun in the mikvah. 40 is always the number of form. So there's 40 sun in the mikvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu, after 40 days of the Mabul, dry land emerged. Klai Yisrael had to spend 40 years in the Midbar to gain form, to become who they truly are. And the Gemara says that until 40 days, the fetus is Maya Ba'alma. Mishnah Avos says that 40 years is the age of Bina, age of wisdom. Very, very deep topic. We're not going to delve deeper into it. But what's the idea here when it comes to Rebbe's statement? Rebbe was crying. Why was he crying? Rebbe was crying. He said, This Rasha spent his entire life wasting away his potential. in a single second, changed his entire life, became a Rebbe, and went to Olam Haba. What's going on? So let's think about the Zona. The Zona said that you can't perform tshuva. There's no hope for you. But what was he saying? He's saying you can't perform tshuva. This Yehuda, you know, this Russia, sorry. This Russia can't perform tshuva because that's not who you really are. Who are you? Go find out. And that's what Rebbe was crying about. Rebbe wasn't crying because he was, you know, I guess, you know, one way of thinking about it is that he was depressed. He spent his whole life earning his Olam Haba, and this guy does it in 1 second. That's a complete misread of what's happening here. What's Rebbe really saying? Crying always represents a breakdown in a clear path. So you cry when you hear really bad news. Let's say someone thinks they're going to live for 40 years and they find out they have a couple days left to live. Their whole world got shattered. They cry. Or they think they're going to die, unfortunately, a couple of days, and the doctor says, good news, you're cured. They cry tears of joy because they thought they were going to live a couple of days. Psh, shattered. You're going to live 40 years. We cry when our path in front of us breaks down. That's why Klal Yisrael cried tears of chinam when the Meraglim came back, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, those aren't real tears. Your path is right ahead, and you're thinking inside that your path is shattered. So now I'm going to give you a real day of tears, and it's going to be Tisha B'Av, where you really will have a shattering of the path, where everything will break down. So what happened here? Rebbe's crying, why? Because this Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya actually taught him something, that you can reconnect to your true self, so you can perform true teshuva gemur, in an instant. And that's why Rebbe calls him what? He calls him a rabbi. Rebbe Elazar ben Dordaya, why? Because this person brought an idea to the world. He taught us the power of teshuva, that it is never too late. And that's an amazing, amazing idea. Another powerful example of this, we'll just share one more example, is Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya, also known as Acher. So the Gemara in Chagiga Adaf, Tesvav Amabez, says an incredible, we're not going to go, I mean, Acher, Elisha ben Avuya, we can spend literally hours talking about him. Fascinating. He was a gadol hador, tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he's one of the most peculiar, enigmatic figures in all of Shas. He goes off the derech, he's Michal Shabbos, Bifar Hesia, he does who knows what, and he's one of the four who went into the Pardes. That's the source of his Api courses. And who he was, why he was, that's a whole topic, but for very simply, without getting into all the details, he became a Rasha, went off the derech, gave up, threw everything away, and just said, I, there's no room for me in this world. I reject it all. Now, what his philosophy was, why he did it, that's a whole topic we're not going to go into right now. It's a fascinating topic. But the question is this. The question is, what happened to him? Because the Gemara says that what happened is that he became this person called Acher, who literally means like other, someone outside. And the Baskel said that everyone can do teshuva. Everyone can do teshuva except for Acher. So what happens? So Elisha ben Avuya says, there's no hope for me. Right? The Baskel says, shuva banam chutz me Acher. Hashem wants everyone to come back to do teshuva except for Acher. So, once again, what's going on here? The idea is that your root self is perfect. And as we go through life, we make mistakes. But those mistakes are not us. They're not our true selves. They're who we have attached ourselves to, who we think we've become. And teshuvah is regretting the mistakes and trying to tap back into who we really are. The big mistake that we make at that point, that we could make at that point, is when we think we are the mistake. When we attach ourselves to this new identity and we refuse to let go. And that's what happened. Because the Baskel said what? The Baskel didn't say Elisha ben Avuya can't come back. He said Acher can't come back. Now, Elisha ben Avuya is not Acher. Acher is not Elisha ben Avuya. Acher, who Elisha ben Avuya has come to identify himself as, But that's not who he is. And Hashem's literally talking to him and saying that, you know, Acher can't come back because that's not you. Like, ditch this identity and come back to your true self. He's literally giving him a message. But what did Elisha hear? Elisha heard. Elisha can't come back. And the Gemara actually says that. That's literally that. The Baskel says chutz me'acher, and Elisha says chutz me'Elisha. Elisha literally hears, there's no room for me. I can't do tshuva. It is too late for me. And the inspiring message of it's not too late, you can come back, he hears the exact opposite. Because he identifies with the facade. He identifies with the problem. He identifies with the mistake. And I would say the most fundamental problem we have is we refuse to tap into a higher identity. We refuse to accept the possibility that we're destined for more, we're capable of more, that we are capable of the extraordinary. Once we realize this, once we realize that you literally are capable of the infinite, you are a transcendent angelic being in this world on a mission to achieve the extraordinary, once you realize that, it's never too late. You have that potential within you, you can always tap into it. The problem is when we think we are the mistake. On Yom Kippur, we read Yonah, but the Midrash says that the king of Nineveh was Paro. Why are we reading that? Paro, literally, you know, me Yudke Vavke, denies HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a Rasha, hardens his own heart, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardens their heart, becomes, you know, the source of the birth of Klai Yisrael. He is the ultimate nemesis, the ultimate Rasha, and even he does tshuva. The idea there is that it's never too late, and that's the power of the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, the Bali Mahashtar would talk about, where are they coming from, where is the idea there? This whole topic, we can spend hours talking about it, but very, very simply, the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim are the root, but the highest root of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Talk about how it's rooted in Keser, which is the highest root of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will in this world. And it transcends Din. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the rules of Din, which is Midah Keneged Midah. You do an Avera, you have Kapara, you do a Mitzvah, you get Zechuyos. It's very much formulaic, it's systematic, it's logical, it's mathematical, it's within the realm of Din, of strict judgment. But there is a realm that transcends that. And when we recognize that, despite the fact that we're in this world, we are rooted, our ultimate root is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and transcends Din, we're able to transcend Din. That's the whole idea of Yom Kippur, of tapping into Kapar. Why? Because Yom Kippur is what? Yom Kippur is where we tap into our angelic selves. We don't eat, we don't drink, we don't attach ourselves to mita, we don't engage in the physical world because we're tapping into our angelic selves. We are malachim. We say Baruch Shem Kvam Achzor Levad out loud. Only malachim can say that. The Kohen Gadol goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. No man is allowed to go in there, but on Yom Kippur, he's a malach. He represents all of Klal Yisrael going in there. We are transcendent at root. We're in this world as well. That's the paradox of life. We say, the Beis Yosef says, what's the Pella when you go to the bathroom? It's that your neshama is able to be connected to your body. When you go to the bathroom and you release waste, what's the releasing the waste? You eat to connect your neshama to your body. If you don't eat, your neshama will leave your body. When we release the waste, we're basically saying, thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for keeping ourselves connected to our bodies. The powerful idea of the Yud Gimel Midos Rachamim is that we're able to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Din. He created logic. He created cause and effect, and he's not bound by it. And the Ramchal says that that's the whole idea of shofar. When we blow shofar, we're connecting back to the ultimate root. We've given a whole shiur on shofar. You can listen to that. But we're going back to the ultimate root, which transcends Din and is able to tap into that ultimate chesed and rachamim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea. And Rav Chaim Freelander actually said that the idea of shofar is tapping into the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim. It's the same idea. Why? Because the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim are, we're saying again and again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that there are aviras, I know that we messed up, but at root, we are perfect. At root, you transcendent. At root, help us connect to our ultimate root. Help us connect to you. Help us transcend din. And when we recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu is transcending din, midah kenegad midah, we're able to transcend din. That's the Ramchal's beautifully says in Derech Hashem, that when we blow shofar, when we tap into the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate root, that he created the world, he created the rules of din, when we recognize Hashem as the root, midah kenegad midah, we get to transcend the rules of din as well. And this is our journey to Yom Kippur. This is our journey. Aseres Mitzvah is that journey. And on Yom Kippur, the Ramchal brings down, there's actually, it's in the Gemara. It's in Gemara Rosh Hashanah and Gemara in Tainus. A couple other events happened in Yom Kippur. One is Moshe brought down the second set of Luchos, and the other is Avraham performed Bris Milah. So what's the connection between those two, and why are we heading towards that as our ultimate destination? Why is that Yom Kippur? So there's a beautiful idea, two ideas. Number one is we're tapping into the ultimate root. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us a Torah. The Mefreshim talked about how Matan Torah was an experience of Olam Haba. Roim Asakolos, we saw sounds, you don't see sounds. Hearing sound, that's process. You hear one sound after another. Seeing, everything is static. Hearing represents this world, it's a process. And seeing represents Olam Haba, where everything is static. You experience who you are. But Matan Torah, we saw sounds, the whole process of life was basically we tapped into a transcendent realm of static reality. We were experiencing HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. The Midrashim talked about how our neshamas were just like basically leaped out of our bodies and connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because we were basically transcending the physical world. It was an experience of Olam Haba. We were connecting back to the ultimate. That's why we blew shofar a Matan Torah. It was an experience of transcending this world and connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the ultimate way. And on a more profound level, Bris Milah is where we in the physical world transcend to the ultimate. We take the most physical animalistic organ, at least that which can be used in the most physical animalistic way, and we uplift it. The Maharal says that we're basically connecting this physical to the spiritual in the most transcendent way. That's what Bris Milah is. That's what Avraham's Midah was, connecting the physical to the spiritual. And both Matan Torah and Bris Milah occur on the 8th. Right? Maharal says the whole physical world is built off of sevens. 7 days in the week. 7 lights in the spectrum of light. 7 sounds. 7 notes in the musical scale. Shev Mitzvah Tzei Noach. Why? Because 7 is the number of the natural. We live in the three-dimensional world. Right, left, forward, backward, up and down. The 7th is that which connects it together. The 8th is Lamala Min HaTeva, that which transcends. So basically, you have 6 sides of a cube. They don't have to be together, they can be on the floor. The 7th is that which makes them connected. The 8th is the spiritual, transcendent, infinite aspect that emanates from the pieces. So when you have a radio, for example, the pieces of the radio come together, that's great. If they come together in the right way, you have a radio wave. If the body's functioning the right way, you have a neshama residing within it. Matan Torah was building 7 weeks of 7. The first of the 8th week was Matan Torah. Bris Milah is on the 8th day. The 8th is always Lamala Min HaTeva. Now, what's the power of this idea? The power of this idea is that Yom Kippur as well is the 8th. Yom Kippur as well is the 8th. It's the day of Matan Torah. Right? It's the 8th day after Rosh Hashanah. Think about that. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. But Yom Kippur is actually something different. Yom Kippur is the second Matan Torah. What's going on? What's the idea? So the second idea is, in addition to Bris Milah and the re-giving of Matan Torah and Yom Kippur about transcending and connecting to our ultimate root, it's the idea of reconstructing broken pieces. Because the second Matan Torah, remember, the first Matan Torah, Moshe broke the Luchos. The second Matan Torah was rebuilding what was broken. It was getting kapara. The Mefreshim and the Gemara talks about how HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mechaper us for the Chet Egel on Yom Kippur. That's when Moshe brought down the second set of Luchos. And obviously, the second set of Luchos is much more human. The Beis HaLevi talks about how it's on a lower level, and Moshe was, so to speak, built them as opposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu building. How HaKadosh Baruch Hu built the first one, Moshe built the second one. A whole different topic. that we're not going to really go into right now in terms of the difference between those levels of Torah. But the second Torah is like the idea of you learn Kol Torah Kulo in the womb and you forget it. You come into this world to build it. We lost the first Torah. We got the second Luchos, the second Matan Torah. Now we're basically in the process of building it, of constructing it. Bris Milah is the same way. If you look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Lamed Chasam Beis says that originally Adam HaRishon didn't have an Orla. He didn't need a Bris Milah. Only after the Chet do we now have an Orla. And on our physical bodies that are no longer perfect, we have to perfect it. Obviously, Charles Rufus says, what do you mean? How can it be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates something imperfect and you're more perfect than Hashem, you're able to create something perfect? So Rabbi Akiva said, no, that is our tafkid here. Our job in this world is not to be perfect. We're never going to be perfect. Our job is to become perfect. We lost the first Luchos. We're no longer as perfect as Adam HaRishon. We're not in the womb in our perfect state. We're in this world. But our job is to build our perfection, to become perfect, to become extraordinary, to learn every single day a little more. To become a little more. And that is the power of Aseres Yemei Teshuva. It's the idea that it's never too late. And once the Yom Yom Kippur, we taste a little bit of our perfection. We become malachim. We tap into our root selves. But the goal is not to be perfect and to transcend this world and to be an angel. A nazir has to bring a karmen chattas because the goal is not to be transcendent and avoid this world. The goal is to become perfect, to engage in this world. To use this physical world, all the mitzvahs, almost all of the mitzvahs I say are physical mitzvahs. You shake a lulav, you eat matzah, you wear tzitzis, you put on tefillin. The goal is to use the physical to connect to the transcendent, to create oneness, to create harmony, to think about who you are, what you're capable of becoming, to use all of the potentials you have in this world to become the ultimate version of yourself. And that's the message of Aseres Yemei Teshuva. It's never too late. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, you can't say I'm too young, you can't say I'm too old. You can become extraordinary. So think about what we're going to become this year. Sit in a room and say, what talents, what skills do I want to build? What do I want to work on? What goals do I want to create? Think big. Dream big. Think about the ultimate year you can create and start heading on that journey. And remember, for the Aseres Yemei Teshuva, it is never too late.